The easternmost point of North Carolina's Research Triangle, Raleigh is where arts and smarts meet. Its population ranks second in the South in advanced degrees, second only to Durham, as a matter of fact. And its creative scene is so hot that city officials just drafted a plan to make the town the official arts capital of the South. In the current issue of Southbound, executive editor Allison Entrekin offers a crash course on the places no visitor to Raleigh should miss, a Raleigh 101, if you will. And this morning, I thought I'd share my favorite picks from Allison's piece. Let's begin with a trio of museums, two of which are located in the city's Capital District. As its name indicates, this district, encompassing northeast downtown, is home to the state government complex, including the Capitol Building and the Governor's Mansion. It's also home to two, again, of these three top-notch museums offering free admission. And these museums have really helped earn Raleigh the nickname Smithsonian of the South. First up is the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences and Nature Research Center. The largest museum of its kind in the South, this 200,000 square foot facility is the state's top attraction. You enter near the three-story landmark globe, and then you can head up to the Naturalist Center on the second floor. After a brief orientation, browse thousands of specimens from preserved reptiles to fossils, and place your favorites on a computerized table that provides information about them. And over in the Nature Exploration Center, a 40-foot-long Acrocanthosaurus fossil stalks its prey, while a massive 3D theater screens science and nature films. Just a few steps away is the North Carolina Museum of History. Daniel Boone, the Wright brothers, Michael Jordan. North Carolina has known its share of history makers, and it salutes them all at this Smithsonian affiliate. The centerpiece exhibit, The Story of North Carolina, follows the state from prehistoric times to the modern age, introducing figures like Blackbeard, explaining terms like Tar Heel, and exploring tough issues like slavery and race relations. The museum is also home to the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame, where you can check out one of Richard Petty's number 43 Plymouths. And the third museum in the trio is the North Carolina Museum of Art. Now, it's a bit outside of town, but it's well worth that 10-minute drive from downtown to West Raleigh. North Carolina was the first state in the nation to purchase works of art, and the free museum showcases the Tar Heel State's acquisitions since 1947. You can browse works by Raphael, Claude Monet, George O'Keeffe, as well as the largest collection of Auguste Rodin sculpture in the South. Save time to wander the museum park, which is dotted with sculptures and crisscrossed by trails. It spans 164 acres and is the largest park of its kind in the nation. Garnering as much, if not more, buzz than its outstanding museums is Raleigh's crackling restaurant scene. And any conversation about the dynamic dining scene really must begin with Ashley Christensen and her ever-growing empire. Named Best Chef Southeast by the James Beard Foundation in 2014, Christensen put Raleigh's culinary scene on the map. Her first restaurant, Pool's Diner, opened in 2007. With a chalkboard menu of kicked-up comfort foods like lobster and dumplings. In 2011, she opened a trio of ventures, Beasley's Chicken and Honey, think fried chicken biscuits and creamed collards, Chuck's, offering house-ground burgers and fork-and-knife fries, and Fox Liquor Bar, think bitter Mai Tais and charcuterie plates. 2 years later, she unveiled Jewel Coffee and Table, a cheerful cafe with a copper ceiling, aromatic pour-overs, and a killer brunch menu. And her most recent offering, Death and Taxes, brings wood-fire cooking to the city's Moore Square district. A potentially unexpected standout, the restaurant I was most looking forward to visiting when I was in town, would be Beat Amanda. It's one of only a handful of Laotian restaurants in the country, and it's a popular spot opened by New York State alum brother and sister team, Vansana and Vanvisa Nolintha. The duo, who moved from Laos to North Carolina as children, wanted to share the flavors of their native country with their adopted hometown. The restaurant's name means father and mother in Sanskrit, and a large black and white portrait of the siblings' parents greets visitors at the entrance. Try the crispy rice lettuce wrap and the green papaya salad, and whatever you do, don't miss the pork belly soup with julienne vegetables, coconut curry broth, and peanuts. A somewhat under-the-radar must would be Mandolin. It's tucked inside the historic Hayes Barton neighborhood, and it really is one of those off-the-beaten-path places that the locals love but visitors rarely find. Raleigh native Sean Fowler left the AAA Five Diamond Fearington House Inn in nearby Pittsburgh in 2011 to open the restaurant in a historical pharmacy that he frequented as a boy. You can grab a seat at the bar and order the house-made ricotta with warm Brussels sprout salad mixed with potato skins, hazelnuts, and honey, and wash it all down with the restaurant's signature Negroni with vermouth, gin, and Campari. And of course, there's no way I can talk with you about North Carolina without offering a barbecue recommendation, and that would be the Pit. In grand Eastern North Carolina tradition, this barbecue joint, which is located in a 1930s meatpacking warehouse, smokes whole hogs over an open fire, chops the meat up, and serves it in a tangy vinegar-based sauce. Pair your barbecue with a day's fresh vegetables and a glass of bourbon ambrosia. There's even a barbecued tofu plate on the menu for those who don't squeal over pork. I'm not a big shopper, but I can't roll out a list of Raleigh musts without including a few standout boutiques. First up is Lumina Clothing. Opened with funds raised by a Kickstarter campaign, this dapper men's store sells its own line of Don Draper-worthy bow ties, pocket square shirts, and chinos. The four owners, all North Carolinians, three of them North Carolina State grads, named the store in honor of the cotton looms that once kept North Carolina's textile-based economy spinning. Everything they carry is made in America, with many items manufactured in North Carolina. Another North Carolina native, Jesse Connor, opened Ramble, a store specializing in handcrafted home and lifestyle products, in late 2014. Inside the brick-walled boutique, you'll find a host of Raleigh-made items. Terrariums from the Zen Succulent, plates from Arrow and Sage, and quilts from Rye and Hardy. Retail runs in Connor's jeans. Her brother is one of the co-founders of Lumina. And then there's Raleigh Denim Workshop and Curatory. Husband and wife team Victor Litvinenko and Sarah Yarbrough have converted an old warehouse into an artisan denim factory, crafting jeans for clients such as Bloomingdale's and Saks. They also have their own store in New York City. Visit the Curatory, a small retail space in the front of the workshop, where you can watch the jean smiths at work through a vertical window and shop the racks for the perfect pair. The boutique's other offerings reflect the couple's wide-ranging taste. Preppy button-down shirts hang above studded leather belts, and silk ties are folded near graphic print tees. Above it all, hundreds of brown paper airplanes hang from the rafters, fitting symbols of this high-flying brand. And I have two more can't-miss stops. First up, Federi Chocolate Factory. Walking into the century-old Railroad Depot, guests are greeted with a heady sensory experience. The massive brick walls catch your eye, the soothing sounds of brewing coffee fill your ears, and then there's the smell. Organic cocoa beans are roasted, ground, and blended with cocoa butter and organic sugar on-site, creating little bits of heaven, like a special holiday bar with 70% dark chocolate and crushed peppermint. Wander the factory floor, reading signs about the chocolate-making process, then buy a bar from the apothecary-like counter. Enjoy it on the patio with a cup of hot chocolate or even a glass of wine. It is BYOB. And finally, Raleigh Beer Garden. 366, that's the number you need to know. That's the number of beer taps it took to land this new Raleigh hotspot the title of World's Biggest Beer Garden. Of those taps, 144 are dedicated to North Carolina-made brews. You'll find the home state pours on the first floor, along with an outdoor patio shaded by a pecan tree transplanted from a North Carolina farm. In fact, the property on which the beer garden sits was once home to a number of pecan trees, which have found a new incarnation as the establishment's countertops, bars, and tables. So far as accommodations are concerned, there's really only one game in town, or just west of town, actually, in the well-to-do Raleigh suburb of Cary, the Umstead Hotel and Spa. When billionaire James Goodnight approached the Ritz-Carlton and Four Seasons Resorts about opening a hotel near the headquarters of SAS, his Cary-based software company, they told him the area couldn't support such luxurious accommodations. In 2007, Goodnight proved them wrong by building his own. It's now one of only two North Carolina properties with a AAA 5-diamond and Forbes 5-star rating for its hotel and restaurant. The Fearington House in Pittsburgh is the other. Named for neighboring William B. Umstead State Park, the property is known for its modern artwork, much of it curated by Goodnight's wife, Anne, and its elegant ambiance, think afternoon tea serenaded by a harpist. At Heron's, the hotel's signature restaurant, 35-year-old executive chef Stephen Green is shaking up the culinary world as one of the youngest people in the country to head a 5-star, 5-diamond dining establishment. Don't miss his signature 7-course kaisaki menu, which transforms the restaurant's regional cuisine into plated art. For WABE and City Lights, I'm Kevin Benefield.